special service this morning. Thank you for coming. Your presence here today is very meaningful and greatly appreciated. So thank you for being here today. We're here to honor the memory and the legacy of a very dear person, Aunt Esther, mom, grandma, neighbor, friend, sister, whatever our connections are to this very important person in our lives today. And as we gather, it's a mixture of both grief and celebrating what I would consider to be a life well lived. If you were to Google Aunt Esther's name, which I actually did, not a whole lot shows up about her life. But as I look around here this morning, there is a significant eternal impact that her life has had on all of our lives, but especially in the lives of these 11 surviving children and grandchildren and neighbors and friends. And most of those, most of that significant impact took place in more behind-the-scenes types of ways that she connected and ministered faithfully over the years. And so truly, it is a celebration of a life well lived, and we're here to honor that today. I think the greatest way to honor that legacy is to pass on the faith that she lived out and that she taught by her life and her words this morning. So thank you for being here, and may God be glorified in all that is said and done today. Several announcements before we begin the service. There are restrooms. If you go out the door here, make a left, go down the hallway just before you get to the outside entrance on the left. There are restrooms there. If you need a nursery, you go out the doors again, make a left, and there's a set of stairs. You go down the stairs and then make a left at the bottom of the stairs, and you'll find the nursery there as well. Remember that this is a rented facility, so be mindful of that and treat it with respect. And also keep an eye on your children. They are your responsibility as we're here. So the order of the service this morning, there's going to be three songs, which are led by Matthias Miller. And then there's a devotional, which Brother Dave Schwartz will be leading, and then a message by Brother Dwight Troyer. So before we begin the service, let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the honor and the privilege we have of being able to gather here with a great assurance and a conviction in our hearts that our dear departed mom, grandma, aunt, friend is now in the presence of Jesus. Thank you for that confidence, and it is through her professed and proven faith in you that we are here with that confidence. Lord, I pray a special grace on the family. May your presence be close to them. May they feel your presence. And as we gather here to pay our last respects, Lord, may it be a time when we can grieve, where there can be closure, but also where we celebrate the beauty and the glory of a life well lived. So may you carry us through this service, this day. May you be glorified and honored in all that is said and done, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. The first song is "How Great Thou Art." I think there's some sheets in your above the benches, and it's supposed to be projected as well. "How Great Thou Art." I think most of us know it by memory. If you can't find it. Oh Lord.
shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
The next song is Life's Railway to Heaven.
A mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that builds the tunnels. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou art God.
last song, Hold Fast to the Right. I'm sure all of you know that us Millers are a bit emotional. It's okay. It's okay. Verse 4.
You will find in your satchel a Bible, my boy. It's the book of all others, the best. It will help you to live and prepare you to die, and will lead to the gates of the blessed. Hold fast to the right, wherever your footsteps may roam.
We also welcome each one to this service this morning in memory of our beloved mom, grandma, friend. God has various names that are given in the scripture. I'm thankful that one of them is the God of all comfort. We want to gather in his name this morning and look to him for comfort through this time. Appreciated the thoughts that Brother Laban shared, a life well lived. And it's such a blessing that we have lively hope this morning for our sister, that she has departed and gone to a better place. I was asked to share a few opening thoughts here this morning. I'd like to read a little portion here, what one of the granddaughters wrote about Grandma, and also what one of the boys shared, and then look at a little scripture in relation to that. Today, Grandma left her weary, worn-out earthly body and flew to rest in the arms of Jesus. I've been thinking about her life, and here's a few things she taught me. Number one, spend time reading God's word and in prayer. She would often quote scripture, and it was nothing new to walk in on her praying out loud. Number two, be kind to everyone, especially the underdog. Her trademark, God bless you, was pronounced on many and will stick with us for years to come. Number three, be generous. She always wanted to give something to us whenever we stopped in. One of her nurses fondly remembers her and still has a picture Grandma colored and gave to her. It's important how we live our lives. We are leaving a legacy that impacts generations after us. Rest in peace, Grandma. I love you and can't wait for the day we can all be in heaven together. I thought this morning, one thing I thought, as I've known Sister Esther for many years, I thought I would say that she was a good woman, but not a perfect woman. But changed my mind on that a little bit, especially with the thought here on verse on number two, be kind to everyone. Now the Bible, Jesus told us in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And often when we talk about this verse, we tend to say, well, we strive for perfection. But do you think Jesus asked us to do something that we couldn't by his grace? Well, if we look at this verse in context, he says that it used to be you're supposed to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them that bless you. And then it says, the Lord, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, and how that he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And he says, if you love those that only love you, what reward have you? But God loves the unlovely. If you only salute your brethren, publicans. That's not how God is. God is perfect or complete in shedding his blessings on everyone. And this thought of number two, being kind to everyone, was something that we saw in our sister's life. And I believe she lived up to what Jesus meant when he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So in that sense, the sense of being being complete, not being partial in our relationships, loving all and being generous and kind to all, I believe is what Jesus meant there when he said to be perfect. So I would have known our sister that way as well. All right, just a few more here. This was what one of the sons gave me to share around somewhat. Her life revolved on ministering to other people, to those with needs. She was always there for the down and outers, the widows, the helpless. It's not like she lived for or in the limelight. Her ministry was mostly in the background, taking care of the things other people in their busyness overlooked. People just as her flowers, the ones we thought were ugly, were just as valuable to her as the beautiful ones, receiving the same care and nurture that go along with Jesus asking us to be perfect. All her flowers received the same care, even the ones the boys thought were a little ugly. I'd also just like to share a little bit on my take as a friend of the family. Esther is at the age she would be more like my mom than my sister. And I would have known her as a teenager more through the children's eyes, especially the boys. And there were two things that, as I contemplated on this, that stood out to me. And I think the last song that we sang there confirmed the first one. And I'm going to use the words always and never this morning. I know we need to be careful how we use those, but one thing that I learned from the boys especially, that their mom taught them and prayed for them and desired from them, was to always do what's right. And they didn't always live up to that, but they knew if they failed in that. They knew what was right and wrong. And if there was anything that mom instilled in them was do what's right. Even no matter who's looking, who isn't looking, God is always looking. Do what's right. And I would have gathered that as a youth, and I think that was her motto. I appreciate that. That's a good motto, a good always to remember. Always do what's right. Jesus said that he always does the will of his Father. And the other one that I thought of was never waste anything, including your time. And that was sometimes a little bit in a negative way as a teenager, but our sister didn't waste anything, including time, and she was always busy. Now we'd like to go to the verse that was given in Hebrews 6, and I'll touch on this thing of being not wasting time, being busy. Hebrews 6, I was given verse 10, but I'd like to look at verses 7 through 12. So Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." This verse was shared as a comfort. It's a comfort to her family, to all of us, for the hope that we can have. Her life reflected God's goodness to those around her. And that can only be done with God's power in our lives. And God's power can only come in our lives by yielding our lives to him and accepting Christ as our Savior, and allowing His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. So that gives us a good hope this morning. And not only a good hope, but an example to follow. And while our sister's lips are silent this morning, her life continues to speak and will continue to speak. Now I'd like to back up here to verse 7 in Hebrews 6 and get this verse in its setting. It says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." And then we have verse 10, that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. God remembers the good. But verse 7, the earth drinketh in the rain. Now, Esther didn't have an easier life than any one of us here, and maybe harder than some. There were trials that she faced. There were rainy days in her life. But I believe her, as was mentioned, she spent time reading God's word and in prayer. And so when the rain came, it brought fruit, just like the earth does, because she cultivated her heart. This morning, if we have a field or a garden, the rain will produce weeds and thorns and briars unless we cultivate it. And so, just like our dear sister cultivated her heart, her time with God, when the rain came and it produced the fruits of the Spirit in her life and flowed out to others, we want to follow that example. So when the trials come, when there's rain in your life, cultivate your relationship with God like our dear sister did, and may it make your life fruitful and a blessing. We also need the sunshine as well as the rain. And then I thought of too in verse 9, and it says, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. You know, we're not here to eulogize our sister or think that she has been able to go to be with the Lord because of all the good things that she's done. She understood that she needed a Savior, but the life that she lived and the blessings that flowed out of her life accompanied her salvation. And this morning, if we claim to be saved, but there's nothing that flows out of our life or accompanies our salvation, then we have good reason to question our salvation. So we're thankful for the things that accompanied her salvation. And then we have the verse that we read, and then it says in verse 11, and I think this is my desire for us to take away from here, I think would be our sister's desire that we would take this from her life. So, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that every one of you do the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, this word diligence, and I think this is something that Esther would have instilled in her children, and I think she did a pretty good job, but she tried. It says that ye show the same diligence, and I think most of you children know enough Dutch that you would know what flassy means. Well, the Pennsylvania Dutch Bible says flassy kite here for the word for diligence. And I looked it up in the Greek, and it's the thought of speed coupled with earnestness and eagerness and promptness. And That's how we would have known Mom here this morning, our dear sister, was one that taught her children to show this kind of diligence and was diligent in ministering to others and not to be lazy, but follow those that through faith and patience inherit the promise. And so I want to leave that with the children, the grandchildren, all of us here to take away as the example that she left, that we would follow that and we would experience the great salvation that God has for us, and the things that accompany that would flow out of our lives and bless others. So in closing, number one, cultivate your heart so God's blessings flow through you, like our sister did. Drink in the rain and allow it to bring forth fruit in your life, like our sister did. Hebrews 13:7 says to just read that, and we often think of this as maybe church leaders, but it doesn't really say it. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, and I think that could mean mother here this morning in her home, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their life. What has brought your mother, your grandma, to an end that we can feel blessed with and good about? You need to take the same path if you want that end. And then in Hebrews 14:13 is a closing verse. Especially for the family here. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. I've been blessed in being able to know Sister Esther over the years, and her life speaks to me. I want to be faithful to follow her example as well. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Bow our heads. Father, we thank you at this time for your presence here with us. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And as we look to you through these times, we can, even though we sorrow, even though there's tears shed, Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have. And we thank you especially for the example and the legacy that our dear sister has left us of being faithful in ministering to the saints. And not only the saints, but all people. Lord, wherever she saw needs, she was there to minister. We pray that you would help us to follow her example. We thank you that we can be blessed with her end, and we thank you that we can be confident this morning that she can rest from her labors and is with you forever. And we just pray that we would be faithful so that we could also join her someday. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Lord bless all here. It's been good to be here, hear the words that were shared already this morning. How to begin, I'm not sure. I'm not one who has a tremendous memory. I'm trying to think back, memories of Esther. And been here a long time, know all of you children from the time I was small. And went to school with Caleb, Tom, I think, youth group with Phil, Gina, Josh, Tyke, Caleb, Thomas. But what about Mom? What do I remember about Esther? Not a lot in those days. It's like a background, a constant. Something that was there, someone that was there, someone that affected my life through you all. In that, I'm kind of like Dave, those memories come through you. And later, the last several years, I guess I probably learned to know Esther a little better, more as an elderly mother, grandmother, privileged to help out there a time or two. But I like the words of ministry in the background, and I would say that describes Esther's life in a beautiful way, that constant. The family we were talking there. One of the themes that came up was the theme of home. Mom wanted to go home. And I know it was difficult, but in the last several years, she didn't know where home was. But I found beauty in that. Where is home? When we're young, home is where mom and dad are. It's where food is. It's where love and safety and acceptance and security is. As we get older, that changes. Home is where my wife is. It's where my children are. There's love, safety, respect, acceptance, fulfillment, security. Home includes the familiar and the routine. Home includes my work, my community, my church family. Again, there's love, respect, acceptance, fulfillment, and security. But besides home contributing all of these things to my life, a big part of being at home and finding that love and fulfillment that God has designed for us to find is that home is where I contribute. It's where I'm a part of things. It's where I give without reserve, accept without judgment, sacrifice with purpose, and without self-pity. It's where I'm a part of something larger than I am, and I love it. So home changes. Mom and dad get older, we don't need them as much. And then they need us. And then they're gone. Our children grow up. They leave their homes, establish their own. They don't need us as much anymore. Our church family ages out. Others do the work and take care of us. Where is home? Esther wanted to go home, but where was home? Someone else lived in the houses she used to care for. Someone else cared for the children that she used to care for. Someone else manages the church that she and John helped to start. She couldn't understand all this anymore, but she did know that she wanted to go home. This morning she is home. She's accepted. She feels loved. She has never felt loved before. She belongs. And she's part of something far greater than herself. Her permanent home, the one that doesn't change, the one that doesn't pass away. This morning I want to talk to you about going home. That home.
We're not home yet. The rest of us here. This morning I'd like to begin with the scripture in John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't know about you this morning, but that sounds like home to me. That sounds like home that I want to go. You know, sometimes one of the family said they would give Esther a ride, and they would ask her, is this home? No. Is that home? No. She didn't know anymore where home was or how to get there. But sometimes as we get older and the world changes around us, and we start to get that feeling, I'm not at home anymore. I just don't belong here anymore. This morning, Jesus here describes home, and he tells us how to get there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is a home, and there is a way to get there. And this morning, that's what I'm going to talk about first. There's home. But there's bad news. We're not naturally on the way home. We're born into this world going our own way, trying to find our own version of home, one that suits me, that satisfies me, and that makes me happy and gives me what I want, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're not naturally on the way home. We do not naturally embrace truth. What Jesus says about us, about our sinful condition, about our spiritual condition before God, we do not naturally embrace that. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We do not naturally have spiritual life. Ephesians, the second chapter, says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We're in a hopeless condition as far as getting home. Like a GPS with no satellites, no guidance, no address. The way we go on our own, I know best. I know what I want, what I need, what makes me happy. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is only an illusion at best and blinded deception at worst. That road doesn't lead home. It's a wandering route. Gives a lot of experience, but only leads further from home. And then there's good news. God has a way home. But God, continuing on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has a way home. How did he do it? How can he do that? How can a just God forgive sin? Only by accepting a perfect sacrifice on our behalf. Where does he find that? He has to make it. Perfect sacrifice, which he provides. Some of Esther's favorite verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Continuing in Ephesians chapter 2, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This morning, if you're still here, and you're still wandering around trying to find home, you're still chasing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and you're not getting there. Home is an illusion that you can't find. There is a way. Here it is. Jesus said, I am the way. His sacrifice is for you. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. You're a sinner. You can't save yourself. And Jesus is the life. You surrender it all. Your sin, your own way, your own attempts at life, and you trust him to cleanse you. You accept there's no other remedy for sin that will make you acceptable to your Creator ever. And you accept the sacrifice made for you on the cross by God's only begotten Son as your only way to be forgiven. And you commit to following his will and plan for your life, then he will be your life. You know, the beauty of God's way is that it sounds like death. It sounds like death to everything that I want. Jesus says, if we lay down our life, we learn to live. In my own words. This morning we have the confidence that Esther is at home this morning. She's in a room, a place that Jesus prepared for her. And we have that confidence for two reasons. The first one is that she confessed, that she has accepted this sacrifice by faith. And she put her faith in that grace for her personally. The second reason is that she lived the way that Jesus taught to the best her ability. The story of salvation, being on the right road, doesn't end with accepting the sacrifice and being born again. There's more to it than that. We become part of the family. We have work to do. We're a part of things. We give, we sacrifice, we love, we obey. I quit there in the book of Ephesians in verse 9. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you ever wonder why Esther did the things she did? That's what Christ saved her for. For good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. This morning we're confident of the welcome home that Esther received because of the life she lived on the way there. It's a way, a railroad, like the song said this morning. It's a way. You start, but you're on that way until the day that you leave this world. One of the family told me that Esther would want Jesus lifted up, not herself. And from what I know of Esther, that would have been the case. That would be the case. But at the risk of that, I believe there's a story, and that story should be told and remembered. Dave read the one scripture that came to my mind there in Revelation. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for their works do follow them. Esther was an example of what it meant to follow Jesus in a practical way. Choices she made, the words she said, and the life she lived have affected all of us here today. And I'm fascinated with that thought. Her choices affected her family, our church, and our community. Somerset, Glenford, Mount Perry, the community that we call home, that she called home. The choices she made affected that community. They affect all of us that are here today. And I'll come back to that a little more later. The way we live on the way home is important. We see that in this scripture here in Matthew chapter 25. They were rewarded for the good that they had done, even though they didn't realize what they were doing. And I thought, how fitting. How fitting. Esther, in her young years, she followed and supported her husband as they moved out of an apostate setting and started the church here at Mount Perry. That was 54 years ago, long before I was here. And yet I'm affected by that. Here's where I am today. There was commitment there to following Jesus, and that meant sacrificing home. It meant sacrificing the community that she grew up in and the approval of her family and friends. There was commitment to building a new community where the commands of Scripture were lived out in everyday life. There was commitment to something larger than herself. The church, the local practical illustration of the kingdom, is more important than what I want. And so I yield to and support my church family. There was a family to raise in the fear of God. Her children can repeat verses of Scripture that they heard over and over. We all can. A couple that were mentioned, Thou God seest me. Simple verse, but you knew that God saw you no matter what you did. Be sure your sin will find you out. Not only did God see, but you would be exposed, and then there would be consequences. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Life is real. Life is hard. But we serve a great and mighty God. That was instilled in you. You can trust in your God. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. To this day, all of you know that you tell the truth all the time. Even the grandchildren remember the verses she would quote. John 3:16. Christ was her hope, her salvation. She was walking that road home, and she was constantly pointing it out to us as well. showing us how to get there. She was a woman of prayer. She told one of the grandchildren that when she hears a siren, she prays for whoever might be hurt. This one really impressed me. One of her grandsons remembers a prayer room in the basement, a special place that mommy had when she prayed for people. I never knew that. Another granddaughter remembers looking over at her grandma during church and realizing that she's praying for her dad while he's preaching. To wonder, you know, to find these things out, I have to wonder, what would our church be like if it wouldn't have been for Esther? We'll never know that, because it didn't happen. She was there, and she did what she did. The love of Christ, in a practical way. She loved children, both her own and others. Many a little person went home from Esther's house with some small gift, a book, a candy, etc. We're talking about that at home, and Randy said he has a $2 bill that he got one time when she came to visit school, passed them out to school children. Her grandchildren remember someone who spent time with them, making cookies, reading books, making gingerbread men. That was mentioned several times, and even sharing her adult coloring book. She shared words of wisdom with the children. Words that influenced even the grandchildren. The love of Christ in a practical way. She didn't live. Here's the thought that came to me the other day. She didn't live to make an impact. She lived out the scriptures in a practical way. And in doing so, she impacted all of our lives. She made a difference in all of our lives. She loved people, the doctors, the nurses at their appointments. Her love and concern for them made an impression on them. She had a heart for the elderly neighbors. I remember her prayer requests at Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Lou and Joe Salva. Myron Curry's. Missionaries. Harvey Kaufman's. Pansy Hines. One of the families said she always had some older person that she was taking care of. You don't know. You never know what effect the things that you do, choices that you make will have on the lives that you touch. One of those came close to home to me. Myron Curry's only had one daughter. She got married. She didn't have any children. She got old. Her husband passed away. She had virtually no one to take care of her, and she didn't trust people. I met her. She wanted us to do some work for her. Met her. Visiting with her, she needed help, and somehow in the course of one of our early conversations, she found out that I knew Esther and John. And I think that was the turning point that she was able, and I think she even told me something about that, that was part of what let her be able to more or less trust me enough so that I could give her the help that she needed. Until she passed away a little over a year ago. Esther had no idea what she was doing or what she did in this community. She was doing what she could because it was the way that Jesus wanted her to live. And for those kind of people, Jesus has these words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Why? Does Esther remember doing those things? Probably not. She was just doing what she did. Why, Lord? I don't remember that. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. How would the story of the Miller family, my story, the church at Mount Perry, the community of Somerset, how would that be different if Esther had made different choices? This morning, her story is written. The choices that she's made have affected us in the way that they've affected us. They're a part of our lives. We can never go back. We can't undo any of that. How would our story be different if she'd made different choices? Her story's written. Yours and mine are still in progress. And the choices that we're making are just as important to our family, our church, and our community as hers were to our story. I'll close with the words of a song. I often think of the day so swiftly passing away. The road to heaven seems hard to find, and so I'm doing my best to reach that home of the blessed and make it easy for those behind. The road to heaven is straight and oh so narrow the gate. Around us trials of every kind. But if we clean out the snares that hinder, give them our prayers, we'll make it easy for those behind. I'm working the road. Working the road to heaven, helping the weak and blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven's abode and make it easy for those behind. God bless all of you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray your further blessing on the family and friends of Esther. Lord, we just praise you for the choices that she made, the difference that she made in all of our lives, in this family, this church, this community. We praise you for that, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege that we've had to know her and for her to be a part of our lives. I pray your further blessing on each one in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Dave and Dwight, for those very meaningful, appropriate words that you brought to us. Been such a blessing for me as a nephew, a bit removed from Aunt Esther's world, to hear a piece and a part of her story again. I had the privilege of living as a child and a young adult on the home place where Esther's mom and dad lived, Aunt Esther. And I remember Esther's mother, Grandma Minty, there was a saying that she would say, I heard it probably a number of times. She'd say, just one life, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. And as I heard the story of Aunt Esther this morning, it seems like she took that saying to heart. And the evidence, I think, has been given in a life well lived. Esther Miller, 86, of 10410 Amish Ridge Road, Somerset, Ohio, died at 1:24 p.m. on Wednesday, April the 9th, 2025, at her home of pancreatic cancer. Esther is survived by 11 children, Minty Lynn, John Troyer of Frankfort, Ohio, John Mark, Katie Miller of Swanton, Maryland, Andrew James, Ida Miller of Mount Perry, Ohio, Timothy Edward, Irma Miller of Frankfort, Ohio, Philip Roy, Mary Kay Miller of Auburn, Nevada, Titus Paul, Sharon Miller of Afton, Oklahoma, Joshua Henry, Edna May Miller of Amanda, Ohio, Regina Miller of Somerset, Ohio, Faith Tabitha L. Garber of Stewartsville, Missouri, Thomas Allen Carol Miller of Leesburg, Ohio, Caleb Levi Dorcas Miller of Somerset, Ohio. There were 56 grandchildren, 29 great-grandchildren, two brothers, Henry and Andrew Jr., and two sisters, Catherine and Lydia. She was preceded in death by her husband, John, of 59 years, a daughter, Phyllis, and two brothers, James and Edward. Esther was born July 10, 1938, in Middlefield, Ohio, to the late Andy M. and Minty Bender Miller. She resided in Perry County for the last 59 years of her life. She loved her Savior, family, and many community friends, and was an avid gardener. She will be greatly missed by her loved ones. Just a few final announcements here. The burial will be at Calvary Bible Fellowship Cemetery at 12245 Amish Ridge Road in Somerset, and that'll be at 4 o'clock. There will not be a funeral procession, so make your way over on your own if you desire. Please remain seated until you are ushered out. Follow the usher's instructions to go through the food line that would be here, and then supper will be served for friends and family at Calvary Bible Fellowship at 5 p.m. after the burial. So at this time, we're going to have a prayer and also a prayer for the noon meal, and then I think we'll turn it back over to the funeral directors. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this time that we have had this morning. God, we're so grateful, Jesus, that you have provided a plan and a way for us to make it home, as we heard today. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done and what you continue to do today as you are seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, even at this moment of grief. And may you continue to be with the family, and may they feel you in a very real way today. We thank you also for the food that has been prepared. May we eat it with thanksgiving, and may you be glorified with the strength to receive from it, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.